The rest of us, we're going to continue in the book of Proverbs. 2 weeks ago, I started a series on wisdom. And I wanted to look at some of the lessons Proverbs teaches us. So if you've got your Bible, you can open it to Proverbs chapter 1. And the text that I want to look at today is Proverbs 1 verse 7. It's a well-known proverb. I just want to look at this verse in Proverbs. It's just a statement, but I want to look at it and then try and explain to you what it really means and how, like all of the book of Proverbs, it takes meaning when you apply it to your life. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Other translations you would know say, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." It's mentioned that way in Proverbs 9 and verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." But in Proverbs 1 verse 7, it tells us that fools despise wisdom and discipline. And the issue with the book of Proverbs is it's full of this revelation of the nature and character of God. And fools despise it in the sense of ignoring it and not applying it to their lives, because it says they despise wisdom and discipline. The interesting thing about the book of Proverbs is it's not just like knowledge that goes into your head, but it's actually a lifestyle that you're supposed to adopt. And so it requires this measure of discipline in your life, because you have to put in the effort now. I know in terms of the message of the gospel and your sins being forgiven, Jesus did all the work. He put in all the effort, and you're justified by faith alone, grace alone. But when it comes to working out your salvation in fear and trembling, there's a part of it that you have to work out. And fools despise wisdom and discipline. They don't want to bring their lives under God's discipline. They don't want to bring their lives under authority. They don't want to bend to the will of God. They don't want to change the way they are to the way God is. And that's where so many of us don't understand the wisdom of the Bible. We always think of wisdom the Westerners anyway, in this shallow two-dimensional view, where wisdom is linked to knowledge, like being clever and knowing lots of stuff. And you hire consultants to help you with your business problems because they're specialists and they should know lots of stuff and they should fix problems. But that's not what biblical wisdom is about. Biblical wisdom is something which is actually a revelation of the character of God and a question of how willing you are to allow your life to come under the discipline, the forming, and the fashioning of the character of God. So I used this as an illustration. Maybe it will be helpful to you. I'll use it again. Some of you will be so encouraged to know that this even happens. I have on my iPhone a little app, and it measures sound levels. So This thing tells you how loud it is during worship when Tuds is really excited and the band's going for it. I sometimes whip it out to see how loud is it really, objectively, not subjectively. You see, apparently if it goes over 100 for too long, you can start to suffer hearing damage. And, it's a very real issue, but not so much in our church, but in Tulia, where I was this week. I was in a church there where there was a loudspeaker if we put all our loudspeakers on top of each other, maybe it's like that. It's this big loudspeaker with lots of attitude. And then it stands there and gets right in your face. So no matter how you want to sit in the room, you can't seem to avoid this loudspeaker, which seems to be pointing right at you. And so having been there, I thought, well, let me ask Glenn to verify, how do I know if this thing is accurate? How do I know if this meter is right? So Glenn downloaded one on his iPhone. Another one, it should have been the same model to be really interesting comparison of phones, but we wanted to compare different sound software. So he downloaded a different free app, and then I put mine on, and it reads 103, which means it wouldn't be wise to stay in that church for very long, just in terms of your hearing and looking after your body. Then mine says 103, and Glenn says 95. Now we've got problems. Because which one do we believe? Is his right? Is mine right? Which one is right? I mean, one's telling you how many decibels there are there, the other's lying. Or one is lying and the other's lying and you don't know if they're both lying. Now, in an electronics shop, you would probably be able to buy a proper sound pressure meter that would really give you an accurate reading, and it wouldn't be a free iPhone app. So I'll just put it out there that I don't trust the free iPhone app's level of accuracy. I'd probably like to go and buy the expensive one that is a real electronic part designed to measure the sound pressure level. And then this one, if I go in the menu, it actually has this little sliding scale here that says calibration. And I can make it read higher or lower. So if Glenn's one was right, and it should be reading 95 when it's reading 103, I can just say minus 8 dB, take off 8, and then this one would read 95 where previously it read 103. So you can recalibrate it to make it true. Now the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar, which was actually God's word. He said that. So when God comes along and he says, you know, you have an opinion and he has an opinion. If your opinion is different from his opinion, then God says you're wrong. That's what it means. It means you're wrong. Your opinion is wrong. It's not very politically correct to say that, because in the world now, everyone's entitled to their opinion. But to come and say your opinion could be wrong, it starts to hint at that offense. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. God can. God can tell you you don't know what you're talking about. You see, when it comes to these meters, they need to be calibrated to one that's true. And my little iPhone app has a calibration slider. God doesn't. God doesn't have a recalibrate. So when it comes to your opinion and God's opinion, you should actually recalibrate yourself to him. And the bad news for you is, and for me, it's good news too, is that it can be done. The bad news is that it needs to be done. That us in this room, we need to be recalibrated. We need to adjust ourselves to God. And so when I look at the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. A knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It's the beginning of wisdom is actually knowledge of God. Then I understand Proverbs isn't setting forth an alternative philosophy. It's not just one way of life versus the way you choose to live your life. It's not just my opinion versus someone else's opinion about what I do with my money. It's God's opinion about what I do with his money, and it's me who is either at odds with him or being recalibrated to be in agreement with him. Proverbs doesn't give you an alternate philosophy. It actually sets forth the character of God, which we see embodied in the person of Jesus. So when you have the Proverbs in your Bible, it's a written expression of the wisdom of God. And when you see Jesus, he lives out the wisdom of God in person. He's the living embodiment of the wisdom of God. It's not an either or. They're not in competition with one another. Proverbs, if you read them and then you go and look at Jesus' life, you will see a man who lives out the wisdom of God, because he himself is the wisdom of God made manifest. Proverbs is just another way of us learning the wisdom of God. It's another revelation from God of himself as the wisdom of God. And so, if you see Jesus, he says things like, the Son of Man doesn't really have his own mansion on earth. He doesn't have a fancy house and a car. He didn't even have a donkey. He had to hijack one. There, when he came back into Jerusalem, he sent his posse to go fetch a donkey that didn't even belong to him. He borrowed it. Sure, it was returned, but anyway, Jesus didn't have all that stuff. And then if you read in Proverbs later, we're going to learn, Proverbs is going to say, you don't need all that stuff, you need God. You don't need all these things in your life to find true contentment. You'll find it with or without material possessions. If you find God, if you get him, then you'll be rich, even if you're poor materially. And then you read Proverbs and you think, oh no, that's just Solomon's opinion. And it's pretty ironic that it comes from the guy who had so much wealth. But Jesus, he lived it out. So what I'm proposing is that Proverbs as a book is as valuable as the life of Jesus as an example. The one is just written instruction and the other is the demo, the practical demonstration. Jesus did a practical demonstration. He came as the wisdom of God and he revealed how God operates. He revealed his nature and character to us. And Proverbs, when it speaks about different things in Proverbs, it's revealing the nature and the character of God. If the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, what do we mean by the fear of the Lord? Well, some people want to soften it and say it's just a respect for God. It's just reverence for him. I think that's true. It is reverence for God. I think if you reverence God, I think if you're in awe of him, I think there should be a holy sense of wonder when you look at God. You should be like, he is so much bigger than me. I will never understand him. I will never be able to second guess him. But there is also a genuine sense that the fear of God has a component which we would just call fear. And I want to illustrate it for you. Like when I was a kid, if I borrowed my dad's car while I was learning to drive, I had my learners, or maybe I just got my license and I go out with the car and I'd bring it back. And then later, I realized I forgot to put petrol back in the tank. I didn't fill it up again after I used it. And maybe that was the deal. Certainly, it's what my father taught me. You don't borrow something and then return it in worse condition than when you got it. It's good character to be a good steward of someone else's possessions. And so my father instilled in me this good character, first by telling me what I should do, and then by watching to see if I did it, and then by rebuking me lovingly if I hadn't done it right. And so then I've returned the car and I've realized he's just getting into the car, he's turning on the key. I hope he doesn't notice. My heart's pounding. I hope he doesn't see. And he looks at the dashboard, all the gauges, and I see his gaze fix on the gauge that says, you've been tried and found wanting. There's not enough fuel in the tank. You didn't fill it up again after you used it. And then I know what's coming. I know for sure, because he's a good dad, he's not going to let this slide. He's not going to ignore this. He is going to call me out on it. He is going to say, Kim, my boy, haven't I told you how you look after someone else's stuff? So my heart is pounding. I'm actually scared. Or maybe it's been a long time since you were parented, but you're at work and you've made a few mistakes this week, and then you get a note left on your desk. The boss wants to see you. For a moment, you panic.